Let's pray. Father God, as we come to open your word, we do pray that by your Spirit that you would encourage our hearts this morning, that you would challenge us this morning, and that you by your Spirit will enable us to walk through this difficult time. For we ask these things in your mighty name. And everybody joined in saying, Amen. Amen. Folks, also just want to mention all those who are at home. Yes, we are in our church building this morning, but we are exercising social distancing. We are also exercising washing our hands and doing our best to stay hygienic so that we can provide this service for you at home. Folks, for those of you who are listening in this morning, I don't know how you're feeling at the moment. Perhaps you're feeling like you're in the wilderness, and maybe you don't know really what's going on or how all of this is going to pan out, or when it'll even end. But here's what is really encouraging for us as Christians. The Bible says that Jesus suffered in every way that we suffer. In fact, in Hebrews 4:15, it says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses." Over the past couple of weeks, as we have been able to gather in this church, we have been in the season of Lent. And we've been looking at the ways in which Jesus suffered on the lead up to his crucifixion. We've also been thinking about the ways in which Jesus responded to that suffering that he faced. And we've also been considering as disciples how we get through difficult and testing times in our lives. We have been thinking about several invitations that Jesus has offered us. A few weeks ago, if you remember, we thought about that invitation to return to the Lord. Then we thought about that invitation to repent. And this morning, I think it's so apt that we come to the invitation of prayer. This morning, we are in the Garden of Gethsemane. And given the current situation that we are facing in our world, and especially in our own country today, what we need now more than ever is the Word of God to enable us to stand tall in the days to come. This morning, in the few moments that we have together, I just briefly want to share with you some words of encouragement that will help us with our walk with God in the days that we face. Especially at a time like this, what we need more than ever is God's hope and his strength. If you have a Bible at home or a Bible app, can I encourage you to open it up at Mark chapter 14, verses 32 to 42. And one thing that I believe that we need now more than ever, especially in what we are facing, is prayer. And the thing that is so insightful about this passage is that it teaches us about the value and the priority of prayer as Christian followers. And in this passage this morning, I believe that there are two very clear invitations to the church today. An invitation to God and an invitation to pray. Firstly, an invitation to wake up. We need to at a time like this to be awake to the church. In the past, we are looking at this morning in the book of Mark, has made his way to the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples following the Last Supper in the upper room. And when he arrived in the Garden of Gethsemane, he took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and he invited them to share Jesus' sorrow and his struggle. Jesus said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He said to them, "Stay here and keep watch." And maybe this morning you feel overwhelmed. Jesus said to his disciples, "Stay here and keep watch." His instruction to them was to pay attention to what is going on. But after Jesus goes off and spends some time with the Father, he comes back again, and he comes back to find that his disciples have not been paying attention. They have not been keeping watch. What they're doing instead is they're sleeping, and he doesn't find them in any kind of action. He asks them very simply, "Couldn't you keep watch for just 1 hour?" So he invites them again, verse 38, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." But again, they were sleeping. Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. And when he came back, he again found them sleeping. Three times Jesus asked his disciples to stay awake. It was almost like the disciples had hit the snooze button on their alarms. Their focus was not on the matter in hand. Their focus was not to stay alert, but their focus was to sleep. Folks, this morning, what the passage speaks so clearly to us about is the fact that God wants and calls his church to be awake and alert. Not only to serve him, but for him to equip us to serve other people. The invitation that we're given here to wake up is actually a matter of urgency. And as Christians, we have to be attentive to what the Lord is doing. The disciples were busy sleeping. They were attentive to what was going on. So this morning, I want to encourage you that in order to be an awakened church, a church that is ready and willing and alert, we have to do whatever it takes to align ourselves with the Father's will and be ready to do whatever he calls us to do in our walk with him. This is not a time for the church to be asleep, but it is a time for the church to rise up, to be awake, and respond to the needs we are facing in our world and in our country today. The world is facing a huge trial right now. Our country is facing a huge trial right now. And what is our response? Are we sleeping or are we awake? The second thing we as Christians are invited to do in this passage is pray. We are to be a praying church. Mark 14:32. They went to a place called Gethsemane and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. The thing we have to keep notice in this passage is that Jesus puts a priority in over prayer. And what this should actually say to us is that if Jesus, the Son of God, prayed in his hour of need, then how much more do we need to be praying in our hour of need too? Often the human reaction when we are busy in life is to drop prayer. Prayer can become the thing that we find less and less time for. Martin Luther once said, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. And honestly, how many of us only pray when we run out of other options? This isn't how Martin Luther did it, and it's certainly not how Jesus did it either, because prayer is essential to the Christian life. But what we have here in our passage is disciples who have fallen asleep. And the reason why they fell asleep is because they failed to tap into the source that Jesus was accessing, which was prayer. Pete Gregg says, I am convinced that prayer is not only our greatest privilege, but it's also our greatest source of power. Whilst the disciples are relying on sleep to sustain and restore them, Jesus puts his faith in prayer. And this morning I want to encourage you that Jesus didn't wait until he got to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. In Scripture, we often see how Jesus took time out to be with the Father. One example is in Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a place to pray. So what does this tell us this morning? It tells us this morning that we need to be a church engaged in prayer. We need to develop a healthy pattern and a healthy prayer life. Jesus prayed because it gave him strength in his darkest moments. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed so furiously, his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And I believe that we today, in response to all that's going on, have that very same call to pray furiously, especially now. Theologian Karl Barth said that to clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world. So what we need to do is to pray as we enter into this crisis so that we will know God's strength. We need to get praying now so that we can face the turbulent times that might be ahead. We need to get praying now that as we experience difficult situations, we will know the strength and the power of Christ through prayer. And that we can take assurance knowing that whatever we enter into in these days and weeks to come, whatever we face, we know that we can walk with God and rely on Him for His strength, just as Jesus did. So as I draw to a close, in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayer was the thing that Jesus made a priority. And because of that, we ought to as well. Folks, we need to be an awakened church. We need to be a praying church. And I want to say to you this morning, all those who are tuned in, that whilst the doors of this building are physically shut, the church still goes on. We are still called to be witnesses. We're still called to serve. And so in light of that, can I encourage you this morning? In fact, can I urge you this morning to get praying? As it says in Ephesians 6, verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, of all kinds of prayers, of all kinds of requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So let us be an awakened church. Let us be a praying church. So that as we go into the days and the weeks ahead, we can be representatives of Jesus and love our neighbors well. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that by your Spirit that we would look to you in prayer. And we pray now more than ever that the church would not be asleep, but that the church would be alert and awake to what's going on. Help us to lean on you for your strength and for your hope. Help us to bring our prayers and petitions to you furiously so that you can enable us to walk through this wilderness. So come, Holy Spirit, empower, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.